Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is painter-photographer Alina Cooper. Cooper was born and raised in Brazil and studied painting at the Art Institute there. It's called the Escola Brasil dos Pontos. She settled here in the Finger Lakes of New York in the early 1980s, finding unlimited inspiration in our local landscapes. Her work has been shown in many art spaces and galleries around the region, including Leidenfrost Gallery, Cuca Moon Gallery, State of the Art Gallery, Tompkins County Airport, and Sodarco Gallery in Montreal. Her work has also been used as cover art for several books and CDs. And welcome to the show, Alina.
Thank you.
Now, I want to begin at the beginning. You were born and raised in Brazil, surrounded by a family of artists. Tell us about this experience and how it affected you.
Yeah, well, since I was little, my family put a lot of emphasis into the arts and culture. I went to schools later on where the emphasis was more on arts. As a child, I remember my mother used to have a woman come to the house to do art with us, with me and my brothers. I don't know if she was an artist, but she used to, you know, do art with us. So my cousins, my aunts, and my mom, they all have been involved in different forms of art, like jewelry, sculpture, photography, painting.
So you were totally surrounded
singers.
By art. And,
yeah.
And were these people, were they professional artists, or were they just people who did it as a hobby?
No one was really professional. I think everybody wanted to be, but it was always kind of, you know, it takes so much effort.
Oh, it does.
You know?
And it's hard to be a success in the arts, too, face it.
Yeah. And my cousin is more of a professional now. She's also a painter and photographer, and she did a bunch of things. So I have people who became more professional.
So you were surrounded by art. Do you remember when you were a little girl what kinds of art you were attracted to? Were you watching the sculptor and saying, oh, I want to do that? Or was it painting?
Well, painting was always something I was drawn to. I've always loved color.
Mm.
And people would say, oh, you're so good with color. And it just happened so naturally for me. And it was my way of expressing myself. And I would just play and create abstract art, let's say. It was just something that always attracted me.
So that's how you were using to express yourself?
Yeah,
through
it was
colors
never, realistic art was never something that attracted me.
And so you said in your biography that when you came to the U.S. at the age of 25, but you really began to develop your voice and yourself as an artist here in the U.S.
Yes, definitely.
And so were you finding, you know, the experience here was taking over some of what you had learned in Brazil? Was your mindset changing?
Well, I guess I had to start being professional somehow because people kept saying, well, you have to do something with your art. You know, when people would see what I did, I was raising two children. When I moved here, and it was a lot of work to move, you know, to another country, learn the language. I knew some English, but, you know, really learn, and to get more established in many, many ways. So it took me many years to adjust.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think in most artists' life, they do have to reach a point where they say to themselves, now it's time for me to take myself seriously.
Yeah.
Is that what you ended up having change that mindset?
Yeah, I kept pursuing places to exhibit and, you know, was brave enough. It's always hard to start.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
And at that time, I was mainly working with watercolors, and then I started to experiment with mixed media, putting a bunch of stuff on the paper, and I always played with it. And things happened, and the response from people was very reinforcing to me. It seemed like I needed to do more to market myself.
Yeah, and a lot of artists have had to learn that.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. It doesn't go with the creative process at all. It's just, like, very difficult. And then I started to experiment with oils. I went to Tortola, one of the British Virgin Islands, with a friend, and we stayed at this woman's house. She's a Paulina Dupont, and she wanted me to make oils to a place there. And I said, okay, I'll do it without ever doing it before. And then I did it.
And did you fall in love with oil?
Yeah, it's very difficult, but I started to use it all the time for years and years and years, and also doing still watercolors and mixed media. I've always been like this. I always wanted to experiment with different things because I've done pottery, weaving, and
Well, I think
know.
that's part of the curiosity of any artist, right? To be
Yeah.
able to experiment, to give yourself permission to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So then I decided to start photographing. I used to have another camera, but I wasn't photographing for many years. And then I bought this very, very simple, cheap digital camera. And I started to photograph, and that's how things began to develop for me
Yeah.
with my
So
photography too.
experimentation has given
Yeah.
you your voice in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting. Now, a lot of your paintings and photographs, they look like views of land from space. Can you tell us what you are trying to convey? I know you're very immersed in nature, so tell us.
When I'm in nature, I just see forms, like I see how light interacts with shapes that I see in nature. Water, I was obsessed with photographing water. Everything that was like wet surfaces and all kinds of things. And shapes would emerge with light. Light and
So it
shapes
was
would create
interactions between the shapes and
interaction,
the shadows and the light,
would
huh?
create this almost abstract forms that I love. And then it emerged to like ice, leaves and water, just
Yeah,
all
I see
kinds
that
of
you have all
different
kinds of
things.
themes like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then I started to be interested in earth, all kinds of things related to the earth element.
Well,
And
when you're seeing some of these compositions, are they actually already made, or do you create them?
no, I
But do
don't
you
like to cr
manipulate
no, I don't
them?
manipulate anything. I'm walking and then suddenly I see something and the moment is appropriate. I happen to see it, and that's the magic of that moment. I don't want to change anything. Don't even change like leaves or anything. I don't put
So you don't
anything.
manipulate
No,
anything to.
don't manipulate. And the photographs, I don't manipulate either. It's just how I photograph them.
So do you feel like you're working from your subconscious, or it doesn't sound like you're consciously trying to do anything? It
Yeah,
does sound like you're just sort of dreaming.
I am. I get into this state, and sometimes I'm like photographing the same scene, let's say,
Same patterns or.
many, many pictures. Like I do, like I compose with my camera in all kinds of ways.
So do you wait for the light to change? Are you that patient where you're sitting there
No,
waiting for the light
I
to
don't
change?
do that.
You don't have the patience for
No, I don't have
that.
the patience. And if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. I mean, I don't make it happen.
Well,
But
I was going to ask you this too, because photography and painting are such entirely different mediums.
yeah.
Do you consciously go out and say, I'm going to photograph, or do you see something in nature and go, oh, I want to go paint that? In other words, do you paint? Do you paint from photographs?
No. When I paint, it's totally from my unconscious.
Oh.
I don't plan anything. And then with the photography too, but with the painting, I usually start using like a certain color that I'm drawn to somehow, and it evolves. And then I'm like working and working and working for sometimes months because the oils, take longer. With watercolor, I do that too. I start with a color and do different, and it happens much faster. But that's how I work with the painting. With photography, it's like I love the immediacy of I see something, it's like I'm creating a painting and like an abstract painting with my camera. And I love like making the composition and all of that. So it could be similar in some ways because, well, one is much faster, which I love, than
Yeah.
painting.
You would have loved the Polaroid camera era. Remember when the Polaroids came out and you could
Yeah.
just whip those off and then they'd
Yeah.
all turn orange
Yeah.
eventually?
Right.
Now, I was wondering if, when you're out walking and if, say, you feel sad or happy, are you trying to convey the emotions of the moment with some of your work?
It's a good question. I've been in kind of, let's say, hard states, emotional hard states. And it seemed like when I am in a place when I'm having most trouble emotionally, I'm capable of transforming that into amazing photographs sometimes, and with painting too. It seems like those states, even though it's so hard, they make something, you get more sensitive, and you like there's something with creating beauty that helps to even to transform. And I even forget that I was feeling like I get like mesmerized by something that I'm seeing. It's very healing too.
Mm-hmm. So art as therapy indeed, right?
Yeah. I've had a lot of different therapists, massage therapists and practitioners who have my art in their offices.
I wanted to ask you about this too. You studied painting in both Brazil and the U.S., but I heard you say once that you consider yourself self-taught. Explain.
I am really self-taught. I think I really am, because I went to art school. I went to the Skövde Museum of Fine Arts for a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I do, I just do it. I didn't really learn. I don't like reading manuals or really learning about technique so much.
Uh-huh.
I just start doing, and I guess I create my own way somehow.
Do you get criticism from artists saying you should have learned the technique of drawing? You know how some people do think you need to go through the steps in order to...
Yeah, no, I learned some drawing, but I never really liked it somehow.
Uh-huh.
I decided this is where I have my freedom. I don't think I've had a lot of wounds in school when I was little.
Uh-huh.
And so I just had this way of like, I'll do my own way.
Yeah, and a lot of creative people are wounded by school. I think a lot of creative people cannot stand rules.
Yeah, I never could.
Yeah, especially rules of behavior. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was like ADD or who knows, had some learning disability too in school. And so that was hard for me. And so I had to like find a way to express myself. So that's, you know, I think how this whole thing happened.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Elena Cooper. She is an artist and photographer. I want to know, does painting flow naturally, or do you find it a difficult process ever to complete a work?
Yeah, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I have to force myself.
And then why is that? Are you afraid to go back to it, or...
Well, not actually to go back to it is not so hard as to start. After I finish a painting, it seems like I have to relearn everything again. It's like when you
really
see like a blank canvas, it's kind of scary. You don't know what's going to happen and if you're going to be successful in making anything happen. So... And with a painting that I have started, sometimes I think I have resistance because maybe I'm afraid I'll never be able to finish it, like in a successful way.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we have resistance.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Well, I think the first thing is the leap.
Yeah.
You know, writers tell me you just have to start writing something on the page.
Yeah.
Keep yourself moving. Keep yourself going.
Yeah. So I have to have it all like ready, like, and then I have to like, okay, I'm going to my studio.
I'm going to jump.
Yeah.
How important is selling your art to you? Is that an important factor while you're producing, or is it an important factor as an artist to feel successful?
Yeah, it is important because it's important to make a living. And if it does, and it also reinforces your value, you know, but it's hard. It's hard to...
Because, I mean, a lot of artists, they say the art is the passion. Look at Vincent van Gogh, and he never sold anything in his life.
Yeah,
and
I know.
But he just kept going. It was a major passion in his life.
Yeah.
But nowadays, people do seem to think more in terms of my value has to do with whether people want to buy me.
Yeah, it was very hard for me to get to this place, and I'm doing much better now, but it was like a...
Uh-huh. Do you ever feel like the mother having to get rid of her child when somebody buys one of your pieces?
Sometimes,
do you have that feeling?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Especially ones that I really like. But then it feels good too. I know where they go, and then people are happy with it. And it's funny because When a painting leaves my house, it looks different. It takes like this
another
shape or something.
It probably takes on the personality of the house or the people who bought it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like how people they see things that I never have seen, you know, the shapes and things that, and I'm like, oh, wow. So it's nice when it's out there and, you know, people.
The child finds a new family and becomes something beyond what you thought.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the fact that, you know, for many years, artists never needed to learn how to market, how to sell themselves, how to talk about their art. Has that been a difficult process for you? And how have you achieved that? Did you take classes for any of that?
I did coaching, life coaching. Mm-hmm. And with someone who was very good, and I ended up hiring an assistant who helped me with many aspects of ways of like marketing or computer skills and different things that I don't have or I won't have it ever.
A lot of people resist wanting to have to do that business
But so I had to do that, and I guess somehow You do it, and then it gets easier.
Yeah, so. I know a lot of people don't like talking about money. They don't like talking about selling themselves. They feel like almost like that's a sell out to think in terms of business.
It's funny
instead
with
of
art.
Creativity. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really like some professions. It's like, you know, and then with art, I don't know. Just harder.
Yeah, well, that has evolved. People have had to change their mindset in regard to that. I've talked to so many artists and professors in art, and people have had to get rid of that resistance.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You do have.
Now, I noticed on your website that your works are categorized, like we were talking earlier, leaves and water, rocks and water. Now, do you come up with these themes and then go photograph a series, or do you find yourself with a whole series of photographs and then you name it?
Yeah, I name it later.
You name it later? Uh-huh.
Yeah, it seems like, I was just thinking about it the other day. I think it has to do with how the conditions are, like where I'm drawn to when I'm walking.
And
like,
it probably has to do with the seasons, too, wouldn't you
think? I
think
it has to do with seasons, with light, with weather.
Your mood.
Like, many things. Yeah, I see like some days I'm drawn to, let's say, reflections. And I'm like, keep taking, you know, because there's something with the light that just is, you know, conducive.
Oh, it's magical. It's absolutely magical. When people can see certain aspects of light, it's really magical.
It is totally magical, and it has to do with that magic moment, because like some days I see something and I'm like, oh, I don't have my camera, let me just go get it, and it's gone, you know. It's just, it's just.
Well, I'm surprised you're not walking around with your camera everywhere.
Well, I do.
I'm surprised there isn't a camera pointed at us right now.
I always do it, mostly, and sometimes I just take so many pictures and I get so overwhelmed with so many pictures that I have that some days I say, no, I can't. It's just because then I have to do a selection, and you know, and then I have it. But I'm mostly with my camera.
Did you live in that era when you could develop your own photographs in a dark room?
Yeah, I actually had a dark room.
Do you miss that era, or do you like this one better? Because
no, I
miss the old one.
I miss the old one to some extent, but I love this way because it's so easy to erase them.
Well, see, it's too easy.
Too easy.
To me, it seems like creativity was more, you know, more and up close and personal when you really had to be creative in the dark room.
Yeah.
And you couldn't throw it all away or just erase it or crop it while you're sitting there.
Yeah, I think for me it works because I'm impatient. So it's like, it's so easy to, you know, to just transfer to the computer and then, you know, so. But I don't, the quality of the old cameras was really good.
Oh, it was really interesting. I had a black and white darkroom for a long time, and I absolutely loved being able to work in a darkroom. That was my solitude, you know.
Uh-huh.
Now, I also wanted to ask you this. You title all of your works. How important are the titles? They seem to be almost as important as the title of a poem. Your titles are gorgeous.
Well, the titles just, you mean with the thank you, for the photographs?
Mainly the photographs I've been looking at on your website.
Yeah, sometimes I have had help from friends who help me, or sometimes, you know, getting names from constellations. Mm-hmm.
Tell people some of the titles of some of your photographs. I'm trying to think of some right now. They're great.
Meetings, blessings, and fractals.
Yeah, all these really, and you do use constellations.
Namu.
And you use foreign words sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
And so my next question is, do you want to manipulate how people see these by giving them specific titles? I hear a lot of artists say, I'd rather have them tell me what it's about than me tell them.
Yeah, me too.
But putting titles on them does sort of give one an idea.
Yeah, the titles, I think, is mostly, it's good to have them, but it's also helpful when, like, you know, if I want to mention a photograph to somebody or something, with the title, it's easier to recognize, you know. Maybe I would have left everything untitled. Just like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think most people do, but a lot of artists don't want to talk about what that painting's about. They want the onlooker to be able to interpret.
I am like that. Yeah, uh-huh. I am like that too. But I have to, I really have to title because it becomes easier.
Yeah, you know? Well, it makes sense to me. Because I would think you would sort of have something in mind when you're doing these, even though you don't want to tell people what you think it's about.
Yeah.
Now, you work, obviously, in both watercolor and oil. Tell us the difference of the two mediums. And what are you looking for from each?
Well, with the watercolor medium, it's very unexpected. The way I do it, you just don't know how the paint, how you know, two colors will blend and what will create.
What kind of color you'll create?
Uh-huh. Yeah, like some shape will appear, something that, I like that. I love the spontaneity and the unexpectedness of you doing something and you don't know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
And then you find that more with oil paints?
Oil is, you have, it doesn't quite worked so much like this, but with certain mediums, some things, if you use it in a certain way, it can happen like this, and like some texture and some shapes will happen, but it less likely than watercolor, I find.
Uh-huh. And which medium is more forgiving with mistakes? Is it easier to manipulate watercolor?
I think oil.
Oil is?
Yeah, for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Do you prefer one or the other in regard to conveying what you're feeling?
I think, I think I like oils better because it's a whole process that I go through that takes a while.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like tending to it, you know, gradually.
So you're putting more thought into it and maybe more time.
Just, working, and then, you know, then I change everything, and then I regret, and then I change it again, and it's just like it's a slower process. It's good. It's good to go through it, you know.
Are you somebody who will eventually stand back and say, okay, this is finished? Or are you somebody who even years later say, oh, God, maybe that wasn't done? Or are you dissatisfied, in other words, with some of your stuff?
Mostly never. I know when it's done. But once in a while, I did something that years later, I will say, I'm going to change something. With oils, you can. You know,
but you can't do that if somebody already bought it, right?
No.
Can I come into your living room and tweak that?
No, sometimes I say, oh, good, I'm glad it's going because, you know, because I'm so sick of working with it. Okay, I'm glad it's going, yeah.
Uh-huh. But do you know when something is finished? How can you tell?
Yeah,
you know, before you've shown it to anybody.
That's a good question. I have this satisfaction at looking at it, and I look everywhere, and I'm like, I don't see what else to do, like, so it feels done.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really satisfied with it.
And do you sit on it for a few days and go back to it?
I keep looking and I hang it, you know, on my wall in my living room, and I'm like always looking
Mm-hmm. And are you somebody who has a small group of friends or other painters that you show your work to before you would bring it out into the public?
No.
Somebody has an editor?
No,
you know,
not
you
really.
So once Elena thinks her work is done, for prime time.
It takes courage. Yeah, I just prefer to like...
Well, tell me why it takes courage. Because you're showing part of yourself.
Well, a huge part of it. It's my, it's like... something, it's this process where I've been in a solitary process, like no one, I don't even show to anyone before it's done. And then suddenly it's like out there. And I mean, who knows who is, you know, seeing it. And so it takes a lot of courage to like move from that, you know, solitary place with it, and then it's public.
And then it's out there. Are you affected by reviews? Have you had, I know you've had a few reviews locally.
Yeah, they've been good. So I've been lucky.
And do you take those to heart?
I do, yeah.
And then so if they were bad, would you, do you think? Or would you say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about?
I don't know, just because it's never happened. I hope never.
Yeah. You know what I want to ask you about, too? Your photographs, the colors are so unearthly looking. I was thinking that you paint over them or manipulate them in some way.
No. You know, I don't know. People ask me. I don't know. I think because of being an abstract painter, there's something with the light that's just right, and it creates...
And you're able to just capture that moment.
Yeah, I only work with contrast and, like, you know, making it lighter or something like that, but I don't manipulate really.
God, I'm amazed to hear that, because they look unreal to me.
Yeah,
like you've added some paint. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know how it happens, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you consider yourself a painter or a photographer who paints? Which do you most identify with?
Yeah, I've been like a painter who photographs, but now the photography is taking over, and I hope I still want to paint, and it's being a little harder. I want to do both, and so I think it's equal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you don't think of yourself as a painter who has now taken up photography and see photography from the eye of a painter?
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, I do. I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I definitely see myself as a painter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
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 Well, we only have a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you, do you have any advice for artists that are coming up, for them, you know, in regard to inspiration, moving forward? What would you tell somebody?
I have told people, like, when they ask me, like, just play with it. Let yourself just, you know, don't get too rigid, you know, about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have helped people, you know, like, doing art with other people, and so just to help them just get looser, you know, somehow.
Yeah, you must be worried like so many other people are about the fact that so much of the arts is being eradicated in the schools.
Yeah.
And to have been, you know, subjected to it as a young child is what made your career.
I think so. Yeah, it's so important to express through art.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it has so much to do with what our culture is.
Yeah, I know. There's not enough value. And then you go to museums, you know, in big cities, and it's full of people.
Uh-huh.
So, who knows?
Do you want to give people your website so that they could perhaps get in touch with you?
www.helenacooperart.com.
And it's HelenaCooper.com.
Mm-hmm.
Any exhibits coming up that people can go see your work in the next few months? Or
there's a gallery in Windsor, New York.
That's going to be showing some of your stuff?
Yeah.
Well, it'll probably be on your website.
It will
so
be my
website,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Well, Helena Cooper, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great pleasure. Keep up the wonderful work.
Thank you.
It's absolutely
thank
stunning.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.